tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 18th of May 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I had a very enjoyable weekend. I went out with PA Wales and PA Midlands to the ancient Kingdom of Mercia, to Hereford, to have a look at the huge cathedral that they had there, which is about 1,000 years old. Fascinating stained glass windows and all the imagery that was there. We also went to another ancient church, which was about 1,000 years old, and that had a lewd carving, which was not even known about until recently when they were renovating the church and they were up high underneath the eaves and they saw this rude carving made out of wood. And it seemed to me that it was a male version of another lewd sculpture, in actual fact, from another church that we went to look at in a place called Kilpec. Again, this was, well, the actual church has been there since 650 AD, but the church that we went to look at, I think that was built in 1100, something like that, covered in gargoyles, amazing arches, amazing Celtic knotwork, and Scandinavian knotwork and Scandinavian figures. Absolutely fascinating history. We also had a look at a dolmen, a megalithic dolmen, an ancient burial chamber that was called Arthur's Stone, obviously the legendary Welsh King Arthur. And then we all had a fantastic meal afterwards. There was 10 of us in all, and a couple of children as well. It was a very, very enjoyable day out. And I mention it because if any of you are interested in going on days out like that and you're not yet a part of Patriotic Alternative, you should join, because that's the sort of thing that the regional PA groups do. I mean, I try to organise at least one a month for PA Wales, and I know that the other groups do as well. We've got lots of other exciting days out planned over the next few months, and if you want to get involved in that, go to patrioticalternative.org.uk and go to the contacts page and contact your region and get in touch with PA and see about joining them, because it is fascinating learning about our heritage. Anyway, to get into the news stories today, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Labour Party. Not too much about that, because Mark Collette has done a big deep dive into that, which will be on the live stream when this show finishes. Of course, Keir Starmer is being pushed out by his Labour Party, and he's refusing to go. And one of the people that is trying to push him out, that is being touted as a possible new Prime Minister, is Wes Streeting. Wes Streeting is a fairly young man. I didn't know that much about him, but apparently he's homosexual, and he's also an ardent Zionist. And in the news, well, this actually came out on Friday. This just came out. He used to make death threats to Geert Wilders, a right-wing politician from Holland. So we're going to take a look at that today as the first of our news articles. And it comes from Breitbart. And the headline is, Britain's next Prime Minister? Top leadership challenger Wes Streeting made death threat against Geert Wilders. One of Britain's most ambitious politicians, who is lined up to launch a leadership challenge against the Prime Minister as soon as today, previously said he was considering founding a vigilante organisation to, quote, push nasty people under trains, close quote, including prominent Dutch politician Geert Wilders. And here we see the two-tier system in action. We see that if you are on the left, if you're part of the left, then nobody really cares if you make any death threats. You can talk about forming vigilante groups, and this is even if you're a mainstream politician. You could do this. However, if you're on the right, say somebody like Mark Collette was to talk about pushing nasty left-wing politicians under trains, I think he would be arrested for incitement to violence. He'd probably be arrested for plotting terrorism as well. But if you're on the left, it's absolutely fine. I mean, I've talked about this before. All you have to do is look at the signs that people on the left are carrying about at these protests, talking about smash the far right, smash the fash. I mean, it's just violence. They're just calling for violence against their political opponents. Of course, people on the right wing, we're not like that. We don't call for violence against our opponents. And if we did, as I say, we would be sent to jail. But people on the right don't tend to do that anyway, because people on the right are quite happy to have a debate. We want to hear other people's ideas, whereas people on the left don't want to hear other people's ideas. They think that people with ideas different to them should be intimidated and threatened and bullied into silence, which is effectively what Wes Streeting is saying here. He's trying to bully Geert Wilders into silence. Dutch politician Geert Wilders, the so-called kingmaker in the last Dutch government and the leader of the Party for Freedom, one of the Netherlands' largest political parties, responded to the emergence of British Labour politician Wes Streeting as a likely candidate to be the next Prime Minister, by recalling Streeting's publicly expressed fantasies of political murders. Wilders wrote, "Look what Streeting wrote about me in 2009. He wanted to push me, a Dutch MP, under a train." Wilders published a screenshot of a now-deleted Twitter post where Streeting fantasised about murders, writing of Wilders and a British journalist, "Considering starting my own vigilante organisation to push nasty people under trains. First up, Jan Moyer, followed by Geert Wilders." And he was going after Jan Moyer at the time because she had just written a critical piece about gay marriage and about homosexual lifestyles being risky lifestyles, effectively. A famous homosexual had just died, and you could say maybe her article was in poor taste, but you certainly shouldn't call for violence against them. And of course, the thing is, when people call for violence like this, I don't think Wes Streeting genuinely wanted to kill Geert Wilders. I think he was just exaggerating his distaste for this Dutch MP. But you're not allowed to do that anymore, are you? Or you can on the left, but you're not allowed to do that on the right. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. If you used to go up to the pub, I used to frequent public houses quite a lot in my youth, and you would quite often hear people say they should all be lined up against a wall and shot. And that was talking about politicians. That was talking about the government. They should all be lined up against the wall and shot. And that was a very, very common thing for people to say. And of course, nobody actually meant politicians should literally be shot. It was just an exaggeration. It was a way of expressing your distaste at the current government's policies. Nobody would take it seriously. Yet today, we're supposed to act as if people would take these things seriously. And in some cases, people have gone out and tried to kill politicians, but I'm not so sure that it's the fault of people voicing their anger against them that is the reason why that has happened. There have been attempts on Geert Wilders' life, and I don't think it was because of Wes Streeting's tweet. While some may attempt to rationalise away such rhetoric as harmless, that's what I was just doing, death threats towards politicians are not trivial in the Netherlands. Wilders' predecessor, as the figurehead of the Dutch anti-mass migration movement, Pim Fortuyn, was assassinated by a left-wing extremist, citing the defence of Islam during the campaign for the 2002 general election. Mr. Wilders himself has lived under 24-hour armed police protection since 2004 over frequent threats and actual plots against his life by extremists. Now, you do get plots by jihadis, you get fatwas that are put out on people, but you also get extremely violent left-wing thugs that go out and attack people on the right. There were all these hammer attacks a couple of years back against members of the Alternative for Deutschland party. I think in one instance, six Alternative for Deutschland MPs ended up dying within a matter of months. We still don't know what happened there. But I can regularly recall seeing images of MPs from the AfD that have been absolutely brutally battered by people on the left. I mean, recently we had the young lad in France, the traditionalist Catholic lad, murdered by Antifa thugs on the street outside a demonstration where he was supposed, he was there to provide security for these girls that were protesting this left-wing organization, saying that this is a terrorist organization here. And they effectively proved they were a terrorist organization by murdering him. I mean, when do you hear of left-wing people being murdered by right-wing people? It's very, very rare that you hear about it. I mean, you can think of Charlie Kirk got murdered last year. People tried to shoot Donald Trump. People tried to shoot Donald Trump, I think, two or three times. There was another prime minister that was shot at while I was in prison. As I say, Charlie Kirk was shot at, assassinated. You do get lots of left-wing nutters trying to kill right-wing people. And yet it's just accepted that it's okay for people on the left to call for this, to say they want to smash the fash and smash the Nazis and all this sort of language, as we see here. Wes Streeting thinks it's perfectly fine to call for Geert Wilders to be thrown under a train. And bear in mind that Geert Wilders has got legitimate death threats against him, as it says here. He will have to live for the rest of his life under 24-hour armed police because of the things that he has said about Islam. It's his critique of Islam, basically. The 2009 threat from Streeting was in response to an article by Jan Moyer that some alleged was homophobic, allegations that led to a police and Crown Prosecution Service investigation at the time. Looking back to the episode, in a 2024 article, Moyer stated that police investigation found the column was not in fact homophobic and that no crime had been committed, and decried Streeting's eventual apology for the repeated threats to throw her under a train as a pompous, self-serving non-apology. A third-person apology by proxy, a chancer's masterstroke. And he was basically apologising for the way that he put it, but not for the sentiment. And of course, the sentiment was a violent sentiment, wanting to kill your political opponents. Noting how Streeting had used violent threats against a great many other political and social opponents, Moyer recalled, he has come under pressure to apologise for his alarming history of abusive tweets against me and others. So obviously this wasn't the first instance of this. In no particular order, he has threatened to punch people, to slap people, to use a rifle on tax dodgers, and to burn down the flat of someone who annoyed him. He has a way of apologising without apologising, of appearing contrite, while actually doubling down. And this is the man that is hoping to be the next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Someone who has made repeated threats to kill his political opponents. British tabloid newspaper The Daily Express reported in 2022 that when Streeting made that apology referred to by Moyer, he was first asked to apologise for abuse in the House of Commons chamber, but he declined, later releasing a statement through a spokesman which said in third person that the, quote, bad taste, close quote, posts had been deleted. Nevertheless, it was said he had not changed his mind about Jan Noir or her column, and apologised only for the way in which his anger and upset at this piece was framed. No apology to Geert Wilders is known to have been made over including him on the vigilante hit list. The Express noted at the time the level of concern about Streeting's intemperate remarks had prompted a Conservative Party spokesman to add, there is a clear pattern of threatening, abusive and in some cases misogynistic language used by Wes on social media. He is touted as a future leader of the Labour Party, but he needs to apologise for his use of such deeply shameful language. I do believe Geert Wilders has now reported this to the police. I mean, this was another article that was in Breitbart over the weekend. Gert Wilders has reported him to the police, saying that this man was making death threats against him. So we'll see where that goes, because it was some time ago now, of course. Delay leadership challenge speculation continues to swirl in Westminster after the disastrous performance of Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer's Labour Party in last week's nationwide local elections. Several contenders are understood to be preparing to challenge him for the party's leadership, which under Britain's parliamentary system would also make the winner of that challenge the Prime Minister. And I think I would like to see Angela Rayner as Prime Minister. I think that would be absolute chaos. I was listening to Patriotic Weekly Review last week with Morgoth, and he was talking about this, and I think I agree with him. I would like to see her as Prime Minister, because it just would completely destroy the Labour Party. And I think she would have great relish in doing it as well, and just taking down the establishment. I think it would be quite entertaining. Of course, it wouldn't be very good for those who have property and pensions, because the mortgages would go up and the pensions would go down. But I think she would really nail the final coffin in the left if we had Angela Rayner as Prime Minister. We're going to need to have somebody. I think we're going to end up with Ed Miliband, unfortunately. But he is he's the oldest one out of the lot. And he is a complete crazy environmentalist loon. But I think he would he probably knows more, a little bit more about the economy than Angela Rayner. But of course, if you look at Keir Starmer, he's just brought Gordon Brown in as his advisor on the economy. And Gordon Brown sold all the gold off at the lowest prices that it's ever been in the whole of history. Britain's newspaper of the left, The Guardian, notes in its summary of the state of play among the various plotter camps that Wes Streeting's challenge is expected to launch first. Perhaps as soon as today. Streeting, who could be Britain's first openly gay leader, is said to be aligned with the Blairite right of the Labour Party and is a sometimes confidant of disgraced party grandee Peter Mandelson. Well, that is probably going to count against him. He's also an ardent Zionist. I mean, he's a completely crazy Zionist. I can remember him writing to the authorities, telling them that they needed to come down really harshly on this Palestinian doctor that had sent out tweets that were critical of Israel, wanting to have her struck off and requesting that they look again at their decision. So he is an ardent Zionist who doesn't believe that Israel should ever face any criticism. Streeting needs 81 Labour members of Parliament to put their names behind his to trigger a leadership challenge. And The Guardian's report cites sources who state he thinks he's got the numbers to bring down Starmer and that he is going for it. I think he might have resigned. We've got Andy Burnham, the mayor of Manchester. He's resigned his mayorship. And there's another Labour MP who has resigned so that Andy Burnham can try to get elected. And, of course, Reform are also standing someone against him, and Reform are doing very well in that part of the country, and Restore are also standing against him. So we'll see what happens there. You've also got David Lammy, who is the stand-in Prime Minister at the moment. So you've got David Lammy, Angela Rayner, Wes Streeting and Andy Burnham, effectively, who are all pushing for this. But then on the outside, you've also got Ed Miliband, who may be put in there if they finally manage to get rid of Sir Keir. Well, we mentioned the Reform Party there. We've just seen how Wes Streeting and people on the left can make all these violent threats, call for vigilante groups. And yet, if you are somebody on the right and you are talking about immigration policy, you're going to end up being completely censored. And this also comes from Breitbart. Farage's Reform UK Party migration policy video censored on TikTok over supposed hate speech. And this is effectively political interference because the Online Safety Act is being used to remove Reform's video because it's critical of government immigration policy. Not because it's against the law. I mean, this is the thing about the Online Safety Act, they can go after you even if something is completely legal, but the government decide they just don't want it there. They can request that it gets taken down. And I think that is what has happened here. Nigel Farage's Reform UK party has accused the left-wing Labour Party government of using the Online Safety Act to censor its political opposition after TikTok removed a video criticising mass migration by Shadow Home Secretary Zia Yusuf, who of course is not white. In a video posted on social media, Mr. Yusuf said that Britain has been overwhelmed by mass migration, both legal and illegal, mostly as a result of the policies enacted by successive Conservative Party governments, despite their having promised the public they would cut migration ahead of multiple elections. Now, I don't think for one minute that Zia Yusuf was using racial slurs when he said this. I don't think he was inciting violence against migrants. So he's pointing out that the problem that has been caused by this is by policies enacted by the Conservative Party government. So he's not saying, I don't believe he's saying anything abusive, insulting or threatening. So he's certainly not breaking the law, Britain's notorious hate speech law. So why was this taken down? Well, it must have been taken down because the Labour Party requested it, because that's what's written into the Online Safety Act. If the Home Secretary decides they don't want a social media company to allow a topic to be discussed on there, they can just demand that the topic be taken down or the post be taken down, even though it might be completely legal. So this sort of forces the social media companies to self-censor themselves, and not censor themselves as in prevent the law being broken, but censor themselves as in take down anything that is remotely to do with any of these sorts of subjects, such as immigration. Reform's Shadow Home Secretary, who would be tasked with controlling Britain's borders should the Nigel Farage-led party win at the next general election, warned that the UK cannot afford to grant permanent residency, that's indefinite leave to remain, to the millions of Boris Wave migrants who arrived under the post-Brexit immigration liberalisations enacted by former Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Reform has vowed to abolish immigration status to prevent migrants from gaining lifetime access to Britain's social welfare schemes and to replace it with an American-style five-year work visa. Now, I've noticed that Reform really do like to use this word Boris Wave. And I think it really that came up on the Nationalists started using that term first. But now it's used by Reform. And I think they do it to try and infer that it was this other government, it was the Conservative government that did this, when in actual fact it's Conservative, Labour, Liberal Democrat, doesn't matter who it is, even Reform as well, they want to still have legal migration. And the only reason why they're being a little bit harder on the immigration line now, I think, is because they know that the Restore Party is going to take the votes of people that want a hard line against immigration, and they know that they're going to lose votes unless they take this hard line. Those who do not speak English, those who do not contribute economically, and those who commit a crime will no longer be welcome in our country, he said. And of course, that is Restore's policy, isn't it? Exactly. If you don't speak English, if you're on benefits, if you are committing crimes in the country, we will deport you. That's what Restore is saying. We will deport you. What Zia Yusuf is saying is you will no longer be welcome in our country. So he's not saying he's going to deport them, but he's using similar language to try and win back the Restore supporters to Reform, I think. Yusuf also said that British culture had been eroded by the mass influx of foreigners in recent years and warned that Islamist extremism has gained a foothold in the country, pointing to the fact that a convicted terrorist is currently running for political office in Birmingham. He said that a Reform government would leave the European Convention on Human Rights and its associated court in Strasbourg, which has often been appealed to by activist attorneys to block the deportation of terrorists and other criminals from Britain. So this was effectively a party political broadcast with nothing in it that could possibly be seen as hate speech, and yet it's been taken down anyway. This a relatively standard message from the Reform spokesman was apparently deemed unacceptable by the online video platform TikTok, which said the video had been removed after it was reported to its censors under the Online Safety Act. Now, who would be reporting it to its, who would be reporting this to TikTok under the Online Safety Act, if not the government? Because it's clearly not breaking the law. And as I say, the Online Safety Act, it has it written in there that if the Home Secretary decides they don't want the social media company to be showing it because it contains what they would describe as disinformation or misinformation, then the company has to take that down. So it's not that TikTok have seen this and preemptively taken it down. They've been told to take it down under the Online Safety Act. And that is deliberate election meddling, isn't it, really? I mean, it's deliberate and wide open political censorship that this act is being used for. And this is a clear example of it. The social media platform justified its removal by claiming that the video contained hate speech or hateful behaviour. Well, we've just heard what it contains, and it contains criticism of government policy. A message from the site posted by Yousaf said, TikTok is a place for diverse communities to connect, not to spread hate. We don't allow hate speech, hateful behaviour or promotion of hateful ideologies. This includes content that attacks people based on protected attributes like race, religion, gender, or sexual orientation. Users and third parties can report policy violations to us. We have detected this policy violation based on a report that the content violated our community guidelines. That's one report. One person reported this video and they took it down. Yousaf said that he was also warned that further supposed violations could result in an outright ban from the platform, which he said was all the more staggering given TikTok happily hosts hundreds of videos of people calling for the assassination of Nigel Farage. And of course, that's why Wes Streeting felt so emboldened to call for, say that he wanted to kill Geert Wilders and form a vigilante group to kill Geert Wilders, because it just seems that it's perfectly acceptable for people on the left to call for their opponents to be assassinated. This is a chilling attempt to silence one of the biggest and fastest growing UK political accounts on the platform. TikTok is engaging in direct political interference in the midst of the most pivotal elections in our country's history, all under the auspices of the Online Safety Act that the Tories and Labour claimed to be about protecting children. It is and always will be about silencing voices that the open borders political establishment do not like, he said. And I agree with that, but there's a slight problem with this, isn't there? The main voice that pushed the Online Safety Act was an MP called Nadine Dorries. And it was only a few months ago that she was welcomed into the Reform Party. So the main architect of the Online Safety Act is now a part of the Reform Party. And I suspect this is why they've kept quite quiet about that. I mean, they announced it that she had joined, but we really haven't seen very much else from her since that point. She joined and then said that they should take on Boris Johnson, of all people. And then she went quiet. So they're accepting the people that came up with this act in the first place, just the same as they're also accepting people that opened up the borders to the Afghan refugee resettlement scheme. We also have him there now, as I believe he's the shadow foreign secretary or shadow home secretary, Robert Jenrick, sorry. And I can recall him boasting about how many Afghans that he'd got into the country and how they were all living here and were going to be productive citizens. So this is the problem with Reform. They take on the people into their party that are the very ones that cause a lot of the problems that we have today. Reform leader Nigel Farage seconded this sentiment, calling the removal of Yousaf's video unacceptable political interference from a big tech company. And in a way, I mean, it's good to see this because it shows everybody that that's what this act is being used for. It's just being used to censor the Labour Party's political opponents. It will also be used to censor the Conservative Party's political opponents. That was the real reason for this act. It does nothing to prevent children from seeing pornography, which was the excuse that was used. I mean, it's a really despicable thing to pretend to be protecting children from pornography when in actual fact what you're really doing is silencing your political opponents. I mean, it's a disgusting thing to have done, which they have done. And it's not that people weren't pointing this out at the time, that this is what this act would be used for. This is what it's facilitating. We already have laws against hate speech. Social media companies already aren't supposed to have hate speech on there. And that's not what this was about. It was using these terms like disinformation and misinformation and legal but harmful, which effectively means speech which is completely legal, but that the government decide they don't like. So they call it harmful then, as if somebody bringing up accurate statistics about immigration is harmful for people to hear. Under the Online Safety Act, large social media platforms are required to police the content on their sites to comply with British law. And it's not just complying with British law. It goes further than that. That's the whole point. Requiring sites to police their content to comply with British law is what websites were doing anyway. If they wanted to have their websites available in Britain, then they had to obey British law. This is not what this is about. It's saying that content has to be removed if the government say it has to be removed. Including laws surrounding so-called hate speech. Those who fall afoul of the law face up to £18 million or 10% of their qualifying worldwide revenue, whichever is greater. And of course, this is the reason why BitChute had to stop publishing in Britain. You've got a British company that was set up to provide an alternative video sharing website after probably millions of people ended up losing their YouTube accounts after Donald Trump was elected the first time. And they did everything they were supposed to do. They worked with Hope Not Hate. Hope Not Hate would flag videos up that they thought contained hate speech, and BitChute would remove the videos. They did everything properly. But because of this Online Safety Act, which meant that even if they were doing everything properly, this government could still go after them for having so-called disinformation on there, not having any illegal content on there, but having quote-unquote disinformation on there, they could have been fined £18 million. Or up to 10% of their worldwide revenue. This is why BitChute had to shut down. This is why companies like TikTok are being overzealous in this, because they don't want to lose this money. This is what's so terrible about this law. It goes far further than just ensuring that social media companies don't allow illegal speech on there. It's about censoring completely legal speech that the government doesn't like to hear. Critics have noted that the prospect of hefty fines was likely to incentivize companies to self-censor. Well, of course, that was the whole point of it. So we can see there these double standards, can't we? We can see that Wes Streeting feels empowered and emboldened to call for vigilante groups to murder Geert Wilders, a politician that has genuine death threats against him and has to have 24-hour police surveillance for the rest of his life to protect him from people trying to kill him. And then we see here the Reform Party with their non-white shadow Home Secretary, and he puts out a video, ostensibly an anti-immigration video, without any hate speech in it, and it's just taken down by TikTok in the middle of them fighting elections, as I say, because they're putting forward their Reform candidate to win this election that Andy Burnham, the former Labour mayor, is hoping to win. So this was the equivalent of a party political broadcast being taken down by one of the world's largest social media companies. And the excuse used is, oh, it was hate speech, when quite clearly it wasn't. And the reason why it was taken down is because one person complained. And as I say, I have a suspicion that one person who complained will have been somebody from the Labour government. Because that's written into the law, that if somebody from the government decides something is disinformation, even if it is completely legal, it has to be taken down under threat of these huge fines. So, completely two-tier system that we have once again. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.